Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
Thanks so much. Give it up for Rach. How good. First time up here, knocked it out of the park, Rach. Well done. So good. How are we, Beacon? Bit of a full house here this morning. How good is that? So good. Nice and hot outside. Who's had like a cold drink this morning? You're like, yeah, that's taking the edge off. Anyone? Ice drinks, bring them back. Just me. I'm just like, bring on summer. I love it. Hey, we have got a last session as of today when it comes to the book of 1 Corinthians. Who's enjoyed this series? As we've kind of, who's been reading along at home and actually opening your Bible and not just thinking that Az is just making stuff up, which is always good. Speak the truth. But we are going to wrap up 1 Corinthians today, but I got to say, if you didn't hear last week's message that Pastor Beck brought, go and listen to the podcast. I know that she said it was a stitch-up last week, that she had to preach on 1 Corinthians 13, the famous passage on love, being patient and kind. But it was an incredible takeaway last week with Paul writing from the city of Ephesus back to Corinth, challenging this city, sin city, to get their heart right in the regards when it comes to love. A city that was known for following physical desires and following this idea of Eros love, set by an example, Aphrodite's, like just do what you want, do what you please, make sure you feel good. And Paul approaches them with the idea of, hey, no, Jesus is different. You should be different. Your love should not be an Eros love, but one of agape love, which is selflessness and serving others. It's different. It's upside down. And I think as we've looked at this book, we understand that the entire time Paul's writing, he is continuously saying, you're supposed to be different. You're supposed to shine bright in a dark world. You're supposed to be standing out in your community because of the love of God that you have. And today, we're going to skip over chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians simply because a couple of weeks ago, Steve Beaumont talked about the different spiritual gifts that you can receive through Christ. And he actually covered a lot of chapter 14 in his preach. And so today, we're going to be looking at chapter 15. And chapter 15 has Paul reminding the early church. Remember, this church in Corinth has only been around for 18 months, and within 18 months, it's lost its way. 18 months of following Jesus, and they've messed up multiple times. Anyone else here, I can relate to that. None of you, you're all perfect, great. You're all saints. I'm so proud as your pastor. But reality is, we all stuff up constantly. And we constantly need these reminders for us to get us back on track. I feel like sometimes we're walking somewhere, you know, you're kind of like, I'm on track with Jesus. Then all of a sudden you're over out here going, I have no idea where I am. How did I get here? And it might just be that one degree off of the tracks, but it can lead you a long way away from Jesus really quickly if you just keep moving. And so the reminders that Paul keeps bringing through this letter are incredibly challenging, not just to the church of Corinth, but to us today as well, as we choose to follow Jesus. And today, Paul wants to remind this church about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus died, but he overcame death, is the foundation of our faith. That God is alive. Jesus is alive. He didn't stay on the cross. He didn't stay in a grave, but he rose again 3 days later. And that is the good news, because if Jesus rose again, that means that we too also can rise again. If you're scared of death here, hey, I hope by the end of the day, you walk out and you have no fear of death. You don't care what happens to your life, because you know that you know that you know you can be risen with Christ. That's the good news. That's the gospel. This is what we hold on to. You know, when you watch news stories about Israel and the war and people dying, sometimes we start to get this anxiety and fear. What if this comes to Australia? What if I have to face death? But what Jesus does is he gives us a hope that no matter what you can do to my physical body, you can't take away my eternal spiritual body. And today we're going to be looking at this because Paul has to remind this Corinth church, what are you getting caught up on? Make sure you remember that you are a spiritual being that is eternal if you follow Jesus. And that is good news. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to start here. He says this, let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. Unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important and what had been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12, talking about the disciples. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. Most of them who are still alive, although some have died. How amazing is that? He's like, hey, there's still 500 people out there who saw him alive. Like they saw the guy that died and all at one time. And he's bringing this to our attention. He says, then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. This is a guy that was killing Christians and Christ showed up. But whatever I am now, it is all because of God and how he poured out his special favor on me. And not without results. For I've worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. So it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach, for we all preach the same message you have already believed. Verse 12. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there may be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God. For if we have said that God raised Christ from the grave, but that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone else in this world. How good is that? He's like, if I'm speaking a lie to you today, you've just wasted your life. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, I'm just going to put my mic down. See ya. This is a waste of my life. Why the heck would I be speaking about Jesus to you today if he didn't raise again? He was just a good teacher who died. That's it. But the good news isn't about a good teacher. The good news is that one day when you die, you don't have to die. That you are alive. You're eternal. You have overcome sin and death because of what Jesus did on the cross. And this is what Paul is trying to say. Verse 17, I'll read it again. He says, and if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. If he didn't raise from the dead, your sins haven't been forgiven. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ, they're lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we will be able to be pitied more than anyone in this world. Man, isn't it interesting? Though, but we can come to church and we can kind of forget the whole point. We can get caught up in following Jesus because it makes our life better, but we forget that there's a great, great joy in the fact that you can't kill us. You can't kill me. Like, you can't. And if you know Jesus, guess what? They can't kill you either. You are an eternal being. And I think sometimes we get so caught up in what God wants us to do for this life, because we know if you were someone who came here today and you heard about Jesus and his teachings and applied Jesus' teaching to your life, just decided to apply how he treated people, how he outworked his life and the teachings of how to behave. If you did that, you would have a great life. It's a great blueprint. You would actually have a great life. But if you don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead and you don't understand the fullness of what he did, it's wasted. And Paul is trying to say to this church in Corinth, he's like, my gosh, you can understand this. You can get caught up in trying to do good and living a life like Jesus, but miss the whole point of what Jesus was doing. Further down in this passage of scripture in verse 20, it says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. He's talking about Adam, the first man. He said death came through Adam. When he stuffed up in the garden, death became apparent. He said, but through another man, Jesus, death was overcome. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given a new life. I want you to go read this yourself. because I want you to unpack in your own time what Jesus is trying to say through the scripture, what Paul's trying to write here, and the amazing revelation of this, and how this is going to play out. In verse 30, further down, it says this, because Paul's writing, he's like, and why should we ourselves risk our lives hour by hour? For I swear, dear brothers and sisters, that I face death daily. This is as certain as my pride. In what Christ Jesus our Lord has done in you. And what value was there in fighting wild beasts, those people of Ephesus, if there will be no resurrection from the dead? And if there is no resurrection, let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we die. Isn't that something like you hear people these days? There's nothing after death, so let's just eat and drink, fulfill all the pleasures, figure out what life can give us, don't care about others because we're just going to die. But with Jesus, there is so much more. With Jesus, there is so much more. He says, don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. For to your shame, I say that some of you don't know God at all. But someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? Have you ever thought about that? What am I going to look like after I come back? Am I going to be tall? What's it like to look down on a man's head? But people are asking these sort of questions. And so Paul is answering them. And he actually says, what a foolish question. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And what you put in the ground is not the plant that it will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you're planting. Then God gives it the new body he wants it to have. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. In the same way, with the resurrection of the dead, our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, often through sickness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. Further down in verse 50, what I'm saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives it sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. What a powerful passage of scripture. He's highlighting, you know what? At the end of the day, we're all going to die. But at the end of the day, if you know Christ, that seed, this physical body that's been sown, there'll be a spiritual body that raises up, and God will bring glory for eternity through you. And this is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He proved it because he overcame death and sin himself. He overcame death, and so we can trust that we too can overcome death through him, a new creation to have an eternal body. The reality is, without Jesus, death is hopeless. Without Jesus, death is hopeless. And if you've ever been through an experience with someone who doesn't know Jesus that experiences death, and maybe you've been around family members who don't know the goodness of Jesus or the understanding of Jesus and what he did on the cross. I mean, death is a brutal thing. Cruel and brutal. But the beautiful thing is, because of what Jesus did, we can hold on to hope at all times. We have a hope that we just know that we know that we know in our spirit that we are a new creation, that we've come alive through Christ. Reality is, if you've never accepted Jesus here today, you're already dead. And he wants to bring you to life. He wants to bring you to life through his son Jesus. You know, it's been an interesting season for our family. We've shared over the last few months about Beck's uncle Bruce, and just in these moments of hope, just going, you know what, this death is at the doorstep, but there's this hope that is Jesus. And I believe that Jesus is merciful and his heart is that none should be lost. And I believe in the nick of time, just in the moment, Bruce received that life. Because there's hope in Jesus. There's hope in what Jesus can do. And we all have this opportunity to have faith, hope, and love in our life because of what he did on the cross and through his resurrection. in this last writing of this first letter to this church of Corinth that Paul writes, he's urging people. He's like, be different because you have something that no one else has. It's a free gift, eternal life. Share it with others. Make sure that people see it on your life and make sure you share this free gift. You do not have to fear death. You do not have to worry about what happens after this life. If you have Jesus, you can have that hope. You can have peace knowing that you know that you know that you know. And maybe you've never even had that in your whole Christian life. You'd have never had that peace that you just know that you know that you know that you know. If today you went and died, you'd be okay. I want you to walk out of here at peace and going, I don't even care what you do to me. You can't kill me because I've got Jesus. There's this hope, this eternal hope. And I've been thinking about it this week, about people who have come to that place in their life, they've faced death. The thing that we're all going to face at some stage in our lifetime. And you've met these people. I've met these Christians where you know they're up against the wall, but they have a hope that shines so bright. You know those people you come into contact with, you go, how can you be so strong? How is it your response to something so finite in this earth, you don't even care because there's something so deep within you, you just know that you know that you know. And I remember as I was even prepping this message, it's so amazing how the Holy Spirit brings reminders of things. And I'm like, I was reading and writing about this final urge from Paul to say, hey, get your life right. Understand you're a living, you know, eternal being with Christ. That's the good news. Don't miss that message. And I was reminded of a TV show, America's Got Talent, of all things. I never watched that show. So to be reminded in my spirit, I remember that girl who sang. She just shone so bright. She shone so bright. I remember sitting in my lounge room watching this when it was live. It was just happening at the time. And I'm sitting there and this girl comes out on the stage and she starts to chat to the judges and she sings a song. And I remember sitting there going, she has to know Jesus. She just has to. You can't do that without Jesus. But I never went and looked it up. I never actually went and looked it up. I'm going to show you this clip because I want you to identify, understand this. Those that know Jesus shine. Those that know Jesus have a confidence, no matter what, you can't kill me. I'm alive in Christ. So I want to show this video and we're going to have a chat about this after. Can we pop that up?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm awesome. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we're happy you are. What's your name?
My name's Jane. When I sing, I go by Nightbird.
Oh, that's nice.
Nightbird?
That's right.
Did you sing? Do you sing for a living?
Not recently.
Where are you from?
I'm from Zanesville, Ohio.
Okay. How old are you?
I'm 30.
30 years old. And the dream is to be a singer. What are you going to be singing for us tonight?
I'm singing an original song called It's Okay.
It's Okay.
Yeah.
It is. It's okay.
It's okay. It's okay.
What is It's Okay about?
It's Okay is the story of the last year of my life.
All right. And who are you here with?
I'm here by myself.
It's okay. And what do you do for a living?
I have not been working for quite a few years. I've been dealing with cancer.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay.
All right.
Can I ask you a question? How are you now?
Last time I checked, I had some cancer in my lungs, my spine, and my liver.
Wow.
So you're not okay?
Well, not in every way, no.
You got a beautiful smile and a beautiful glow, and nobody would know.
Thank you. It's important that everyone knows I'm so much more than the bad things that
yes.
happened to me.
Yes.
All right. Sing for us.
Good luck. Nightbird.
In the summertime, I changed my name thinking that it would change my mind. I songs they would stay behind. I was a stick of dynamite and it just was a matter of time, yeah. Oh, dang, oh my, now I can't hide. Said I knew myself, but I guess I lied. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. If you're lost, we're all a little lost, and it's all right. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. If you're lost, we're all a little lost, and it's all right. It's all right, it's all right, it's all right. I wrote 100 pages, but I burned them all. Yeah, I burned them all. I blow through yellow lights and don't look back at all. I don't look back at all. Oh, dang, oh my, now I can't hide. Said I knew what I wanted, but I guess I lied. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. If you're lost, we're all a little lost, and it's all right. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. If you're lost, we're all a little lost, and it's all right. It's all right to be lost sometimes.
Wow.
It's funny because singers come on and I think about authenticity. You know, when you feel it, when it moves you, that felt like the most authentic thing I have heard this season.
That was surprising to be. It was powerful, it was heartfelt, and I think you're amazing.
You gave me chills. I mean, your voice is so beautiful to listen to. It was beautiful all the way around.
Your voice is stunning.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Absolutely stunning. And I totally agree with what Howie said, you know, about authenticity. There was something about that song after the way you just almost casually told us what you're going through and, you know.
You can't wait until life isn't hard anymore before you decide to be happy.
There are, however, there have been some great singers this year. And I'm not going to give you a yes. I'm going to give you something else.
Chance of survival, but 2% is not 0%. 2% is something, and I wish people knew how amazing it is.
You blew us all away. You are the voice we all need to hear this year.
That was way more than okay. That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
God, that really got to me.
It pushes all the heartstring buttons, right?
And yet she's still so strong.
Will I ever breathe again?
So if you're a blubbering mess, so was I 2 years ago. And I watched it. This, I hadn't seen that. And I was like, man, I just remember this joy of this lady. Like, you know how it just, everything about her, just like, how? And you can see the judges. They're like, there's something different about you. What is that? And as I said, this week it was reminded to me of this story. And by the way, that video there has been seen over 200 million times. So if you've seen it already, like you already know it, yeah, because 200 million people have seen it. But what was really interesting this week, I went away and I went, whatever happened to her? Because I didn't actually know. That was the last time she sang on the show. She actually got very sick after that. And over the next year, there's a lot of interviews on YouTube where she just chats about her life. And I discovered that she actually passed away that last year. And she never actually got to sing again because of her sickness. And I found myself in the last week sitting and watching a memorial service to this girl named Jane. Like, here I am watching like a 2-hour memorial service to the life of this girl, because I'm like, she must be a Christian. I don't know anything about, she just shines Jesus. And then when I started watching, it was at a large church in the States, and her pastor said, and I'm like, oh yeah. She loved Jesus with everything. She was a youth leader. She was involved in every element of her life right up until her last. And I was so moved. There's a 2-minute little segment I'm going to show of her memorial service. Her pastor shares about Jane and her life. So we're going to put that up right now too.
Jane was a marvelously funny person. She was every bit of what you've heard all these people say, selfless as well. She mentored dozens of young women in this county when she was working with our youth group, some of whom are here tonight, because of how important she was. My own daughter is one of them. My own daughter said, Jane helped middle school Hallie know that it was okay to be me. Jane helped middle school Hallie get through middle school, knowing that there was someone that loved me and cared about me and wanted to teach me about Jesus. That continues to be an extraordinary legacy, Mitch. I love to hear the stories. When she was in Lynchburg and she would minister to all these neighborhood kids, she was continuing to do it. When she went to Nashville, going into the jail, Jane was certainly other-centered in that way. There's a social media post, I don't know, on one of her, you know, because she's famous, one of her 1,000 channels, but it's a picture of her, a bunch of pictures of her at a youth camp, I think it was 2019, continuing to do ministry with young people, and she says, Youth Camp Jane is the best Jane. And I couldn't agree more. I think we all know, many people know Jane because of Simon's Dagum, Golden Buzzer. I think we all understand. Many people know Jane as a monstrously talented musician and lyricist and singer. I don't think that was the best part of Jane. I don't think it was. I'm convinced that the greatest part about Jane was her hunger and pursuit of Jesus. In fact, I will go so far as to say this, just like her brother said. If when we think of Jane, our admiration for Jane stops at Jane, we'll be missing something very major. Because Jane was a reflection of the Jesus that she loved. The reason she was so magnetic, magnanimous, others-centered, servant-hearted, intentional, was because she was imitating imperfectly the Jesus of the Scriptures.
How amazing. As I said, her memorial service has been seen by 1.5 million people, and 1.5 million plus one this week. So interesting that Paul is talking about death, and he's like this. He's like, hey, death is like the planting of a seed, and it brings about a harvest. And that is a powerful, powerful thing. I think about this one girl who showed up on a TV show and the harvest that's come from her passing. Who knows the impact of the lives of those who have seen this girl and gone, that's what your strength was? That's what your strength was. The truth is that each and every one of us have a life that can be sown when we die to ourselves and actually start to follow Jesus. When we actually lay down our life and say, it's not about me anymore. I'm dead to myself because I wanted to be a spiritual being from here on in. I'm actually going to follow Jesus. Jesus explained this, how it actually works, before he went to his own death. He had to explain to his disciples what needed to happen for us to have eternal life with him. He had to start the harvest. John 12:23-26, Jesus replied, now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of a wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone, but its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Jesus was the first seed that died for us. Through his death and through his resurrection, he was the first of the harvest. And you and I are part of that harvest when we choose to die to ourselves and follow him. Death is part of our life. You can't escape it. You will be confronted by it, and maybe you've been confronted by it even this week. And I'm so sorry for your loss. Maybe it's the last year. Maybe it's even in the last 10 years, and you still can't get over the loss of that loved person in your life. But understand this. The good news that we have in Jesus needs to be shared. There's a lot of people in this world right now that are going through each day fearful of death, not knowing what's on the other side, and we have the good news that you don't need to die. You can have life, not just in this lifetime. You can actually find your purpose and meaning in Christ in this lifetime, but if you do have your life cut short in this lifetime, understand it doesn't stop. It just continues on with Jesus. That's the good news. In this memorial service, Jane's brother talked about how Jane wrestled with her cancer and wrestled with God and was angry with God and frustrated, wondered why it was her, but it's when she submitted to Jesus, she said, from now on, I choose to be happy. She said, you don't have to be well before you choose to be. She went, I'm just going to decide to make the most of every moment. And her brother mentions 2 Corinthians 4:5-12. He said, this was Jane's life. She experienced this. She said, you see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. My gosh, she shone. And this is what he pointed out. He goes, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed. He mentioned she was constantly perplexed by why her. But we are not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. What an amazing thing it would be that if each and every one of us at Beacon Church were known by the light we just shone and people were like, what is it? I know you're different. Like genuinely, I mean, I remember watching that and going, she's a Christian. I remember saying, she has to be. You don't have that kind of confidence when you're dying if you're not. You got to know where you're going. You have to be assured of the gospel. I just knew it. Did I follow it up 2 years ago? No. But this week I was like, I knew it. I just knew it. But wouldn't that be a beautiful thing of people to say that of you? Because you were so close to Jesus, you just reflected Jesus everywhere you went. People didn't even have to question if you were a follower of Jesus. Of course he is. Of course she is. She knows God. If you don't know God today, I want to challenge you to receive the free gift of salvation. I want to challenge you to repent. Repentance is actually coming before God, identifying, God, I know you're real, and I know I'm a sinner. I am broken. I am messed up, and I need you. Repentance is a place where you say, I'm sorry for the things that I've made my life. Today, God, would you please forgive me of my past? I'm going to turn my life around and follow your ways. It says in the scriptures, Romans 10, 9 to 11, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is the confidence you can have today. Don't leave here being fearful of death. Leave here being full of confidence that God has you no matter what. God has you no matter what. He loves you. He died so you didn't have to. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it was with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. May we never, ever forget the good news of what Jesus did through his death and resurrection. Let's pray. First and foremost, if you need that assurance this morning, you're fearful. Be honest with yourself. You're fearful of death. You've never had that peace in your heart that you just know that you know that you know you're in God's hands. He loves you. He loves you. You don't have to worry. Death is just the doorway to eternal joy with God. I mean, this is the reason we were born, to get to know God before we're going to spend eternity with him. And all we have to do is say, Jesus, I'm going to die because my physical body is never going to be raised up. But God, would you make me a new creation, my new spiritual being? Would you make me alive again, a new creation? I'm going to die to myself. I'm sorry for my past, but today I start a new life with you, an eternal life that will be raised up with you, Christ, when I die. If that's you today, I just want you to raise your hand because I want to pray a prayer with you. Yeah, I see that hand. I see that hand. Amazing. See that hand down the front. Yep. Yeah, man, I see your hand in the middle there. It's amazing. Yeah, and on the side there, I can see your hand there. It's beautiful. Yeah, you can put your hands down. Just repeat these words. I want us to all pray this today. It's a good reminder for us to confess who Jesus is. If you've been following him for 5 minutes or 500 minutes or your whole life, but you know, it's just good. It's a great confession again. Repeat these words after me. Jesus, I believe you are who you said you are. You are the Son of God, the only way to heaven. I'm sorry for my sin, the times that I've gone against your ways. Please forgive me and help me follow you. Help me serve you for the rest of my days. Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me and raising again so I too can have eternal life with you. Amen. Amen. Can we give a round of applause for those?
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.